You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. This week, we're bringing you a three-part series on the future of the parking space. This year, San Francisco made a sweeping change in how much it costs to park in the city. Now, the rate of every parking meter will change based on the time of day and how popular the location is. Prices at some meters could sink down to 50 cents an hour, but at other meters, they could rise to $8 an hour. The policy is designed to free up parking space, but because of the ride-hailing explosion, it may not be improving the way people get around the city. KALW's Eli Wirtschafter has more.
It's a cold, gray day in San Francisco. On the steps of City Hall, animal rights groups are protesting for a ban on fur.
Compassionate Bay Area.
But I'm actually not here to cover the protest. Instead, I'm hanging out on the north side of City Hall with Hank Wilson, parking policy manager at the SFMTA, the Municipal Transportation Agency.
The five buses going by, and we're standing in front of a parking meter looking at the screen.
Wilson is a technocrat, the kind of guy who wants government to work rationally and efficiently. He's responsible for the 28,000 parking meters in the city. Now, it used to be that all those meters cost a flat rate, but now the price changes based on the time of day and location. At exactly noon, we watch as the rate at this meter doubles.
So in the mornings, it's $1.75 an hour, and then from noon to 3, it's $3.50 an hour.
Don't want to pay $3.50 for an hour of parking?
So next we're just going to walk to the south side of City Hall.
We walk around the corner where you can park for just $1 an hour, less than a third of the price.
You can find a lot cheaper parking just about a block away.
The widely varying rates at these meters aren't chosen by a human. They're determined by a formula that looks at how often these spots were used. In 2011, San Francisco became the first major city to try this out. The test area covered a quarter of all meters.
There were parking sensors in each space. They're little hockey puck shaped and sized things that were embedded in the asphalt underneath each car.
Basically, magnets sensing whether a car was there. Computers crunched those numbers and started tinkering with prices. About every 8 weeks, the rates at each meter at each time of day could go up or down by 25 cents.
The idea is that we want to keep parking spaces full but not too full.
Full so local businesses can get customers. Not too full so there's always some parking available. So if a space was popular, the rate went up. If a space was less popular, the rate went down. The goal was to have spaces open 20 to 40% of the time. Wilson says this system encouraged drivers to park in the less busy areas.
You have less traffic because fewer people are circling for parking. You have fewer frustrated drivers who perhaps say, I'm not coming back to this neighborhood next time because I couldn't find a parking space.
Based on the data gathered during the pilot program, Wilson says the experiment worked.
All of that data showed that circling for parking dropped fairly dramatically.
Cruising for parking dropped 43% in the pilot areas and 13% in the rest of the city. The pilot officially ended in 2014 when the hockey pucks under the parking spots ran out of batteries. That was the plan. After that, the SFMTA continued to adjust rates in the pilot area. Remember, that's a quarter of all spaces, based on how often people fed the meter. And then this year, after a vote from the SFMTA, the new pricing scheme spread to every parking meter in San Francisco. It's the first big city in the U.S. to do that. Susan Shaheen, a transportation researcher at UC Berkeley, says San Francisco is leading a shift in how planners think about parking.
At the scale they did it, and with the technologies they did it, it really did push them to the forefront.
Berkeley, San Mateo, and Santa Rosa later adopted their own forms of variable pricing. Other cities around the country are following suit. Shaheen says variable pricing doesn't just free up parking, it also helps reach environmental goals.
If we have to circle for parking multiple times, that causes emissions and fuel use.
But, as you might expect, not everyone is happy with the idea that rates could automatically go up to $8 an hour.
Can you imagine paying $8 an hour? It's crazy.
Rick Hall is retired and lives in Potrero Hill.
There's large swaths of the city that I don't go to anymore because I do drive.
Hall volunteers with neighborhood groups in the Mission that try to keep San Francisco affordable to longtime residents. And he says the variable pricing scheme flies in the face of the city's progressive self-image.
What better example of gentrification and regressive pricing that affects low-income folks can you possibly think of?
But Hank Wilson, the parking manager, says the program has the opposite effect of reducing prices on average. People who need cheaper parking can find it in more places now.
Demand-responsive pricing goes down just as often as it goes up. And in fact, during the SF Park pilot, average rates went down.
But at the most popular destinations, rates do go up. And for Rick Hall, that means he'll often give up on driving, even though he'd rather drive.
I leave my car at home a lot, and I end up in an Uber or Lyft.
Shaheen, the Berkeley researcher, says parking pricing can have an impact on whether people choose to drive or take another option.
If the parking is costly, then people might think very differently about how they travel.
When San Francisco started the meter rate experiment in 2011, barely anyone had ever heard of Uber or Lyft. But along they came, and now there's a less expensive kind of taxi available.
With smartphone technology, suddenly transportation is hot. And there's new business models, approaches to getting people around.
When someone like Rick Hall takes an Uber instead of his own car, he's still getting in a private vehicle. He's still adding to fuel emissions and traffic, probably even more than a private car because of the time the vehicles spend driving around waiting for passengers. That could cut against one of the goals of the meter policy, to reduce traffic and driving time. Another thing about Uber and Lyft is that they do need parking space, or more accurately, loading space.
They need to hug the curb, because that's the pickup and drop-off for the passenger.
An Uber or a Lyft driver doesn't need to park at the end of a trip, but they do need to drop you off. And today, there are far more Uber and Lyft cars in the city than there ever were taxis. Hank Wilson, the SFMTA parking manager, says that creates an extra need for loading zones.
And if more and more people are being dropped off rather than parking their cars at the curb, then I think as a transportation agency, we have a responsibility to respond to that need.
The city could respond by giving more curb space to Uber, Lyft, and other services that need to pull over. So, should they? That's tomorrow on our next episode of Curb Wars. In San Francisco, I'm Eli Werchafter for Cross Currents.